Hi, welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today I've got Afshin Odabayi. He's the product manager for the micromodule series of power products at Linear Technology. Now, welcome to the show, Afshin.
Thank you so much, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. I mean, Linear has been working on board-level power since I've been in the industry, and I know they were doing it for a long time before I got here and intend to do so far into the future. But let's talk a little bit about where we are right now. Board-level power obviously has gone through a big shift in design concept, philosophy, and execution. So why don't you tell me how you see embedded power from your point of view and how Linear is addressing it, and obviously with the micromodule family and other devices, but then how their device philosophy fits into how you see board-level power developing.
Sure, absolutely. Thanks, Alex. As you know, Linear Technology produces the power products as one of the divisions of the products in the IC form factor, and also since about 7 to 6.5 years ago, in the form of the micromodule product, which is a complete system on a substrate. We have both products for different needs for the embedded systems. Where the high density is important, especially high power density.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm referring to products such as where they use the high-end FPGA, especially the sub-28 nanometers and nowadays sub-20 nanometers.
Right.
Board size is reducing. The amount of computational power, just description of that, has increased. The speed of transceivers has gone up. The memory requirement has gone up. And the power consumption has also increased. It's important to be able to deliver clean point of load regulation
mm-hmm.
in a small package,
mm-hmm.
packages for that matter, hopefully thin enough so the more of these boards can be inserted in a chassis. But these products, the power products, converter power products, have to be efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Not only efficiency is important, aside from efficiency is the package's capability to dissipate the heat without too much of a rise in the temperature.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, if I may interject, you've also got to think about performance of the package, parasitics. There are a lot of factors beyond thermal management as well.
Absolutely. You brought it up, the inductance and impedance, all those are important. And for the micromodule products, I can go through a list and see how we have addressed those. You're absolutely correct on that. The device itself is designed on a substrate,
mm-hmm.
two-layer or four-layer substrate. These are the BT substrates, and they have a very similar characteristics as the FR4 board on a PC board.
Right.
These can be, as I said, two-layer or four-layer. With that kind of a capability, we can design very complex circuitry on a substrate. When I say complex, it can be as simple as taking a power from the input and deliver some voltage and current on the output with some features. Or we can make it so complex, as have some of our products have them, with the special features in terms of the safety, security, temperature reading, writing, and also perhaps the telemetry. So that kind of a freedom for us to use with the micromodule products, with the method we have chosen for the package to look like, with the substrate design and the mold compound, the way we're doing it, we are addressing the other set, the efficiency and the heat dissipation. The thermal impedance of the package is extremely important. And as you mentioned, also the other characteristics, for example, the electrical and inductance and the impedance of the vias or the pads or the pins, for that matter, are all into consideration to be able to put a power supply or point of load regulator in a small package and be able to fit it on these embedded boards next to FPGAs,
mm-hmm.
next to transceivers, next to connectors, without creating much heat or creating, as some folks refer to it, as a thermal shadow effect on the adjacent products. So those are the aspects we have for past 6 years we have been mastering And as we introduce newer products, and hopefully we get a chance to talk about this new product we have today, it's indicative of the technology we have been able to introduce and improve on.
Well, excellent. And also, Afshin, I wanted to touch on one of the points you brought up about the ability to inject functionality like telemetry into devices. I'm one of the advocates of smart electronics from the power station or the hydroelectric plant all the way down to the device while it is plugged into the wall wart, because the more communication we can set up in the system, the more management we can inject into it, and then the more efficiency we can achieve with it.
That is a correct statement. Aside from, like you mentioned, it's controlling the product itself remotely is something a lot of customers have asked for many years. The technology now is available, has been mastered, and also has been qualified for the matter that we accept a linear technology in terms of precision, accuracy of the system itself, and accuracy of the readback. And so we already, again, Linear is ready to introduce new products in that kind of category. We have it in IC form device. This is a DC-DC controller step down with the telemetry. But we're going to do that, obviously, in a micro module. And that will be the next series of the products that shortly you're going to hear about.
Mm-hmm. Well, then we'll bring you back in a while, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Now, one of the things that I'd like always to talk about when we talk about power devices is some of the issues when it comes to selecting devices of that nature. So why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the challenges engineers have in selecting point of load? I mean, we know a lot of the general ones, but it never hurts for us to hear them from your perspective, and then what your devices do to specifically address those challenges.
Absolutely. The system designers, especially when you refer to the embedded systems, these are complex products nowadays. Not that it wasn't in the past, but nowadays it's become more beyond just picking a proper FPGA or a transceiver. It's just the layout itself at these high speeds are require a tremendous amount of intelligence and expertise, and maybe multiple engineers need to be involved. It's just beyond just the digital IC. It has to go to the layout, to the traces, and also to the power supply. The time and energy and calories spent by most of system designers that I've met and I've traveled many, many countries and many customers, the time they spend on is tackling digital and the difficult stuff. And I said difficult stuff is for us analog guys. Digital stuff is difficult stuff. So they worry about the jitter. They worry about the eye diagram. They worry about make sure they got the proper program going on within the, let's say, the body of the FPGA or ASIC. The power regulation usually, or maybe nowadays is often, is after the fact thought. It's now we got to think about the power. Now where are we going to fit it? How much efficiency is this device, the whole thing, the whole system is going to have? How much power is going to consume? Those are going to be added to it, and as I said, it goes beyond just the FPGA where the workhorse is. It has to go to the power supply and intelligence and the design of the power supply. I've had customers I've visited. Sometimes the power consumption of their boards, especially when multiple racks of these are produced, it's so huge, and they have to compete against their competitors. Even a 1% to 2%, sometimes 0.5% improve in efficiency of a conversion, a power supply voltage conversion, is important. So every area they try to save on the power, that means heat, temperature, cooling system, cooling cost.
Everything.
And on top of it, yes, and on top of it is amount of electrical power consumed by the whole system. In other words, how much money is the end customer of theirs going to have to pay to the grid per month or per year in order to buy their systems? Them to market their products, they have to show power consumption nowadays. They have to show the cooling that's required. How much of the speed of the fan? Do I need any fan? How big of a fan? Do I need air cooling? Convection, or is it going to be a heat sink to a metallic chassis, or for that matter, is going to be liquid cooling? All these now are become a factor
Totally.
For their end customers to choose amongst all the options. And a lot of which are, I mean, our customers are competing with each other on those aspects. Those are extremely important. So that put pressure on analog design suppliers like us to come up with the better and better products. And as I mentioned, part of the better, the qualitatively speaking, is can you make the device, the power supply, point of load regulator, small enough to be able to deliver high power to my FPGA, for example, but does not heat up the system and does not consume too much power. Can you guys do that? It has to be thin enough so it doesn't create thermal shadow or has the airflow on top of it be nice and fluid. Those are the physical aspects we tackle, aside from electrical and aside from thermal. So all mm-hmm. those, more and more, all those aspects are just marrying one another, becoming one idea to deliver to the customer. It's no more, I can do this conversion for you, and it's going to be 80% efficiency or 85%. That's not acceptable. They not only need more than 10 amp, in excess of 100 amps, 200. I've had 300 amp requests for 1 volt.
Wow.
And those are the challenges. And we love it because it puts us to come up with the new products. But these are the realistic topics that just about every customer on embedded systems that I deal with on high-end areas, they're dealing with. And that high-end one, I mean, is just, as I said, sub 28 nanometer, nowadays sub 20 nanometer FPGA or ASICs for that matter. And as I said, the guys like us, suppliers of analog and power supply, we also struggle with that. How can we be able to be a service to them? It's not just a matter of how much functionality you can pack inside the package anymore. It's what do I do with the heat that is not efficiently converted or basically dissipated? What kind of temperature rise am I going to get? And those are key aspects for us to be able to sell products, especially the micromodule power products, especially these guys. Because these come with the encapsulated package, overmolded on a substrate, as I mentioned. So DC-DC controller, the MOSFET, the inductor or inductors for that matter. Sometimes we have up to 5 outputs of these devices. Different functionality all inside one package. And we have to make sure we dissipate the heat through the bottom of the package to PCB and be able to also dissipate the heat from the inside to the top of the package. So through the airflow or heat sinking, the heat can be removed very efficiently. So these are, in essence, very quickly speaking, those are the topics we tackle, especially on the micromodule power product.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's all very interesting, obviously, and Ashing, because we, as you say, we are under a tremendous pressure to be smaller, lighter, more efficient, less fattening. I mean, you name it, the pressure is there, and you have to take the newest materials, the latest package configurations, the most intelligent layouts, and it's all a gestalt now. You can't only focus on one aspect of it now. Everything from the software to the hardware, to the ergonomics of the package, to the system layout, to the protocols, the communication protocols that they're using to transmit the data. It's all important to the energy efficiency today.
Absolutely, it's important. I 100% agree. And that's what drives just about anything from automobile, as you can see, we see it out there, and also avionics. I had a customer that I visited recently that for them, for this customer to be able to sell their device into an airplane manufacturer, it's important. The weight is obviously important, so they got to be lightweight. Size is important because those airplanes are packing a huge amount of electronics and wires into the body of the plane itself. So the weight is important and the size. And on top of it which I was shocked to hear about this one, I didn't know what this severe, was how much power this device that they're talking to me about consumes during the takeoff. So they don't want to burn fuel, more than sufficient fuel in order to have these devices powered on while the airplane is taking off because mm-hmm. they take too much gas. And so this power that is not efficiently converted or consumed by their end product, which in this case delivered by us or regulated by us, has to be compensated by burning more jet fuel. And this is one aspect. So they shut the whole system down to get up into a certain level of the altitude and turn it back on. Or they wanted the best efficiency possible so they can keep it on. Those are the stuff they struggle about. But to emphasize your point, this is not just fantasy anymore. This is how these our customers, these suppliers, make their bread and butter, is to be able to address these issues or these challenges, for that matter.
Well, exactly. And, I mean, when people are talking about the Internet of Things and smart grid and all, it's all going to be a gestalt. And we should start thinking now about how the technologies fit together for the most efficient delivery of the functionality.
Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely correct. Especially now that you refer to the functionality and the smallness of a product, if it's possible to do that, the device that we decided to speak about today, the LTM4624, is the device that we thought, how can we be able to efficiently deliver certain power range, which we can go through the details a little bit later, and but we make it the smallest package possible without without causing our end customer to deal with temperature rise or excess heat. So as Leon and I talked at the beginning, all those features and aspects were involved in definition of this product. And to be able to decide on the package size, package height, the number of pads, number of pins for that matter, and the performance of the product and power delivery. And those topics were included in order to be able to define and show it to the customers and see whether we could market this product.
Well, the interesting thing is that we can continue to find new ways to push the envelope, we don't see the wall yet. So I think that's also a very interesting aspect of all of this, is that this new product is merely a way post in the journey, and it's going to be very fascinating to follow how it continues to go.
Correct. Yeah, you're absolutely correct, and it's multiple faceted. It depends on the technology on the MOSFETs, depends on the technology on the inductors, the construction of them, the what kind of core they use, how many windings, what kind of height, the thermal aging.
All kinds of things.
It depends on guys like us when you take making a good enough or better than competitors DC-DC. Regulators, the brain of it, and the substrate guys to be able to give us products where it had a certain amount of inductance and impedance. Yes, you're right. It's no more put a resistor here and two caps and the device would operate and everything's cool. We have to worry about it. And the micro module products do that. We do the work, obviously. Basically, I say it, there's like a field application engineering inside every product. It's already done. So how would that alleviate the system designers' problems? Hopefully, they have less headache using our products and concentrate on what's important to them, which is the difficult stuff, FPGAs and ASICs and the transceivers and eye diagrams, and make sure they got the whole system operating, and the EMI, for that matter. We try to take care of or address all those. So for those aspects, that product line has been successful past 6 years. And it seems like we're doing an okay job in some areas, some good job. Some areas we've got to do a better job. But those are the how we're going to market it and how we speak to the language of the system designers in the embedded systems or industrials or avionics and those type of markets.
Well, excellent. Afshin, are there any last thoughts you'd like to leave with our audience before we close out the episode?
Sure. What I can say is on the Linear Tech Technologies products on the micro module family, which I handle. Aside from being able to put functionality inside the package, we test these products with the highest reliability to the level that is transparent. We include all the tests and the reliability data on the website. The devices, as complex as they are, have extremely low fit rate. That's failure in time and number, which relates to the reliability of the product itself. And again, all details are on the website. So we spend maybe, on average, let's say we can design a product pretty quickly, but we spend about a year to year and a half to qualify these. And we do some testing that is not done in industry. It's old school military test, high temperature temp shocks for the packages. So this is, I think, one reason LinearTech has been successful into absorbing and getting respect in the very high-end customers where reliability is absolutely huge. And we have one socket, and as a result, we learned. And the products we're coming up with, high-power products, small package, with the new IP and the patents, we're able to dissipate the heat much faster, more efficiently, so we don't have to increase the package size. And in terms of the product, we're talking about the new one, 4620, LTM 4624. This is a 12-volt in product with a 4-amp output capability in a very tiny, tiny package of 6.25 by 6.25 millimeter, the BGA. So that was not possible about, let's say, 2.5 to 3 years ago.
Right.
We had a product back then. We had a product back then as 200 milliamp. Although it was 36-volt input, was only 200 milliamp capable product. Now we have a part that can do 4-amp in the same area of a footprint.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the advantages we are offering with the multi-module products. And in terms of the high power, also smaller sizes and be able to still fit enough power in there with good efficiency so the device doesn't get hot, so the customer doesn't have to spend money on the cooling of it.
Well, you know, and that's the whole key, right? It's got to be, all of the above, as we had said, smaller, lighter, well, obviously higher efficiency means lower thermal footprint, or I like your term a lot, thermal shadow. I'm going to have to use that some. And I'm glad that you guys at Linear are moving the ball forward.
Well, we also thank the market for pushing us. We also have a very good competitor sometimes out there with some products, but so far we have kept ahead of the on the lead side with the number of families. It's not just step-down regulators. We make a micro-module for LED driving. We have a buck boost, high-efficiency buck boost, very high power. We have battery chargers in this family. We have, obviously, boost products. So current sources. So we have multiple family and over almost 60 products now. And so we are aiming, and we'll keep on continuing talking to the customers, and they're talking to us. Hopefully we keep the pace for another few years.
Excellent. Well, thank you for taking the time to be with us today, Afshin. I'm really glad we had a chance to talk about what you guys are doing at the board level. There's always a demand for a good product there.
Thank you, Alex, for your time, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Oh, we'll talk again soon. You have a great one. And I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience for taking the time to listen to us. We obviously wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Have a great day.